Kilman on CliffCentral.com.
All right. So as a kid, Dad was like, yo, you need to stop fiddling, right, Lynn?
Yeah, all the time. He was constantly scolding me at the dinner table. Apparently, it drove him mad. And in turn, this drove me to do something which maddened him even more and legitimized my act of fiddling.
And listen, it seems like it's turning out really, really well. When did you start looking at jewelry with a bit of a different light? And when did you start looking at it specifically with an eye that you might want to make your own jewelry? It's something like we play around with as kids with like seashells, but you kind of took it to the next level.
Yeah, well, I actually studied fine art beforehand and I majored in photography. And I felt very disconnected from the photographs I was producing because I couldn't do anything with my hands. And the more photos I took, the more I realized I actually needed to use my hands to make something and feel fulfilled. So then I decided what better to do than to make jewelry so I could produce all these things with my hand. And jewelry has a very intimate relationship with your body, and people would be wearing my stuff walking around constantly. And I thought that was a really beautiful thing to see.
Your stuff is really interesting. I'm having a look at the obtuse jewelry page on Instagram. You've got like rings that kind of jolt out. I don't even know how to, you know, begin to describe it. But your stuff is very unique. What's the most unique piece of jewelry you've put out into the world?
Well, my collection at the moment is called the Carnetta Collection. And obviously it stems from this whole idea of fiddling and being a fiddler, having to use my hands and fiddle all the time. So all my rings have some kind of element which move and play with. So some of them spin and twist. But at the moment, I think the one which is kind of the most fiddle orientated is the reflection ring. So it's this dome which is very shiny and reflective. And it has like a long stem coming off the actual ring. So you can move that dome up and down on the ring. And it actually functions as like a meditative ball in your hand. So if you turn it the other way around in your palm of your hand, you can actually like play with it like a ball. So it moves around and around.
We don't speak about this word form a hell of a lot. For you, how would you, you know, begin to define form within your own context and, you know, where you've sort of taken that idea in obtuse jewelry?
Sure. With this specific collection, I think form is very important as visually, as like all us creatives are. It needs to be very strong and it needs to have a very strong visual impact. And I think with the domes in the collection, this is the kind of focal point of it. And especially because all of my jewelry is related to the body and how the body plays with and relates to jewelry. It's quite an important thing. So all these, the reason for the domes is that it fits so nicely in your hand and it's a great space and feeling. And it's kind of a natural, yeah, it's a natural object that fits inside your hand. So form in that way is very important. So in its interaction with your body and just visually, this beautiful rounded kind of shape.
How much of you know, your skill and your ability is stuff that you've been taught versus stuff that you inherently are just, you know, able to express as an artist?
Sure, that's a good question. I think as you develop creatively and the more and more you make and more you understand yourself and how your work functions in reality, the better you become at kind of visualizing and bringing into reality all of those things. Yeah, so I think it's just a process, really.
I mean, there's a bit of formal stuff that goes into it, right, though, in terms of figuring out how to, you know, solder the jewelry and all of that, hey?
Oh, yes, yes, yes. So I did a 3-year course at the Ruth Prowse School of Art. And yeah, so technically there's a lot that goes into it. But the more you learn, obviously, the more you can do and the more you want to learn. And I really enjoy figuring out how things work. Like technically, like if I want this to spin this way and not that way, and if I want it to move this way, then technically, how do I do it? So that's quite a big part of jewelry, and especially my jewelry I make, because of all the movement.
I mean, for you, it must be fantastic to be pioneering in a space of jewelry. I mean, people traditionally think jewelry, they think, you know, a ring in a very traditional context, maybe, you know, a band with a diamond on it. People think of a bracelet, you know, a charm bracelets, maybe as adventurous as they'll go. And one almost feels like or thinks that perhaps jewelry, you know, is pretty what you see is what you get now and it can't really be innovated further. But you've kind of proved all of that wrong. What does the jewelry of tomorrow look like? What does the jewelry of the future look like?
That is quite a contentious question. I think Jewelry functions in many different ways, and there are many different kind of spheres of jewelry. So everyone knows the jewelry which you buy from Fashini's, and everyone knows the jewelry which is like high fashion, fine jewelry. So like all the diamonds and pearls and gold, like you were saying. And then there's also another kind of jewelry, which is jewelry you buy at the small like boutique shops, which is by designers such as myself, which are like small batches of things. It's not mass produced. It's just these tiny things which everything is handmade. But then there's another kind of jewelry, which I'm going to call art jewelry and or contemporary jewelry with a capital C and J. And this is something which South Africans still don't really know about. And within the jewelry scene, it's still very small. And this is jewelry which is conceptually driven, and it focuses on jewelry and the role of jewelry and what defines jewelry and how we understand that. And this is still very new in South African jewelry, and it's been happening since the 80s, like in Europe. And this is really interesting. So in South Africa, it's kind of becoming more and more of a thing, but South Africans, we're still not yet able to understand this kind of thing. So myself and some other jewelers here in Cape Town have a collective called Ampersand SA. Mm. And our aim is to question jewelry and our understanding of it and the material and how it's worn and how it's used. And I'm really interested in this. And I think this kind of stems or is a diluted form in my kind of more commercial kinetic jewelry. So it's these kind of things which I'm really interested in. And I'm trying to bring it to an audience so that they can appreciate it and understand it. And it's not something completely foreign, especially coming from my fine art background. This is, I think, how it all relates.
Yeah, I mean, it's fascinating when one starts to, you know, think of the psychology of jewelry and why people wear what they wear and how to, you know, inspire trend within that space and, you know, how history ties into, you know, the evolution of jewelry and all of that. I hate doing this, but I have to bring up Kim Kardashian at this point, because the other day it made headlines around the world. She was Snapchatting. She's at Cannes and she was with some jeweler and she was just looking at massive diamonds. So, you know, inspired by that, my question to you is, when it comes to developing a sense of style with jewelry, it doesn't always have to be that the stuff is expensive, right? I mean, it's the same thing with clothes. That expensive clothes don't always mean it's the greatest piece. And in terms of uncovering what, you know, reflects one most in a jewelry sense, how would you, you know, guide that narrative in terms of people figuring out their style of jewelry and what works for them and, you know, how it can integrate into how they want to be perceived?
Sure. Well, I think the first thing is people need to know who they are and what they want and how they want people to perceive them. And then it's also really difficult because as jewelers and as creatives, you always make what you want to make. And there's a balance between making what you want and what you want customers and what they want. But I think with all kind of jewelry and clothing and fashion and all of that, your customers will buy into your idea. And they will somehow find a link between you and what they want. It's a bit of a tough question. I don't know if that answered it.
Well, I blame Kim Kardashian. She really stuffed us over there. What is
diamonds aren't necessarily a girl's best friend at all.
Absolutely. You see, this is the thing, is that jewelry is just so associated with like being expensive. I don't think often is associated enough with a form of artistic expression.
Yes,
so
definitely.
Tied into, you know, an engagement ring or something that you, you know, will buy for somebody that you love. But it really is this unbelievable art form. And it's, you know, great to see people like you innovating within the space so that it's not just a case of American Swiss everywhere.
Yes. I think it's really interesting because as I was saying earlier with this art jewelry, which is kind of take jewelry to a whole nother level. There are some jewelers, for example, Tiffany Parbs made a ring and she actually burnt like a ring shape around her finger. So she has a ring on her finger made of blisters out of her skin.
Jeez.
And then someone else called Naomi Filmer has made jewelry out of ice and chocolate. So it's ice which melts all over you and chocolate which you eat off your fingers. So none of this jewelry, it's all temporary and it doesn't last. But is it still considered jewelry? And if not, why not? Hmm. Is it the material or because it's temporary? So it's just all of these really interesting things which are happening in the jewelry world, which no one really knows about.
It's so cool. And your stuff is so cool. Give me some final words of wisdom in terms of figuring out one's voice in whatever creative output or creative industry you're in.
I think the most important thing is to delve deeply and to realize who you are and what you want to put out there, and to very carefully tread the line of what you want to make and then selling what you actually want to make. I think that line is very important. So just find out who you are and take time finding out, and don't fluff it off. Just do what you want to do and make what you want to make, despite everything else.
Very, very cool. Such a great message. And you're doing some unbelievable work. It's no wonder you are one of Design and Daba's emerging creators for 2016. It's at Obtuse Jewelry on Instagram. Lynn Avis, thank you very, very much for talking the art of jewelry.
Thank you. Thank you.
Power. What a rock star she is, huh? Very, very cool. Lynn Jarvis there out of Cape Town. She's the jeweler behind the brand Obtuse, which explores alternate forms and shapes for jewelry. See, her dad was like, when she was a kid, what the hell are you doing fiddling with your food? And it turned out to be a fantastic thing at the end of the day. Very, very cool. Nice one there. Kelman on CliffCentral.com.